Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, as we finish out this chapter today. We're going to begin our reading at verse 11. It starts a new paragraph in the Greek text. It starts out with the phrase, concerning whom? He's speaking about Melchizedek. And we'll get that summary in a moment. Concerning whom the word or the discourse for us is much. English text says we have much to say. It's literally the word or the discourse for us is much and difficult to interpret, to explain. Since you have become, if you're into note taking, please circle that word. You have become dull with respect to hearing. For even while being obligated or indebted to be teachers on account of the time, you have need again of someone to teach you the elements. The word elements is stoikeia, where we get a word stoic from. In the Greek, it has to do with the ABCs, lining something up in a row, a military alignment in a row, or the ABCs. The elements, the ABCs, of the beginning of the words or oracles of God. And you have become, there's our word again, please circle that word too. And you have become, having a need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who is partaking of milk is inexperienced, literally without experience of the Word of God, of the Word of righteousness. For he is a babe or an infant. Nepios is a child so young he hasn't learned to speak yet. He's an infant. But solid food is of mature. Notice the genitive case of character. The character of solid food is maturity, mature people. That is the ones, on account of the habit of having their senses exercised to discern or distinguish between both good and evil. Now the words for good and evil in Greek is literally right and wrong. Poneros is the word for satanic evil. This is kakos. Adverse versus right. Right and wrong. What is right and wrong in the eyes of God? To distinguish or discern between right and wrong. The writer of Hebrews, remember, is writing to Hebrew people who are considering leaving the things of Christ and going back into the religious system of Judaism. Because chapter 10 tells us that it's because of persecution. It's easier to be religious than it is to follow Christ. And they're thinking of going back into the old system. So the book of Hebrews is a presentation of the superiority of Jesus Christ to all of the elements of the Judaistic religious system. We've seen him present that the Son, Jesus Christ, is superior to the prophets. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to Joshua, who led the children of Israel into Canaan. Here in chapter 5, he's presenting the fact that Jesus Christ is superior to Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood. The Levites, the tribe of Levi, was chosen to serve as priests. And the family within the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron, was chosen to be the high priests. It was God's designation. It was God's appointment. So this chapter starts out, because remember the last chapter after the warning, it says we should hold firm to our confession that Jesus Christ is our apostle and he is our high priest. That he has passed through the heavens, a language that is depicting Christ passing through the tabernacle in heaven, and He is at the Holy of Holies, at the throne of God, as our High Priest, and He is interceding for us as High Priest. So to actually go to a human being who is serving as a priest, or a human being that's serving as a bishop or a minister, is actually falls short of the reality of the fact that we can come directly to the throne of God through Jesus Christ. He is my High Priest. He is my Apostle. And the writer of Hebrews says that is our confession as believers. And he's telling these Hebrew and these Jewish people who are not able to make that confession. We will see in the next 2 weeks when we get into chapter 6 that they have been enlightened to the truth about who Jesus Christ is. But because of the persecution and difficulty involved, they want to go back. They'd rather be religious. And so he says you have to hold firm to the confession that Jesus Christ is our Apostle and is our High Priest. So he became a human being. He sympathizes. He suffers with our weaknesses. And he intercedes for us before the throne of God. So therefore we should come boldly with confidence to the throne of God, the throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace in time of need. But chapter 5 is presenting the superiority of Jesus Christ and His priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood, in fact, the priesthood in Judaism, as dictated by God, said that the priest had to be a man, a human being. Because he gave sacrifices for the people and for himself for sin. You see, the superiority of the system where Jesus Christ came from and His priesthood is that Jesus doesn't need to give a sacrifice for Himself. We will see in chapter 8, He is also the sacrifice. But He comes in His perfection because the Father needs to hear from a priest who is perfect. And so He intercedes for me. And so that's where the writer of Hebrews inserts into his presentation that Jesus Christ, according to Psalm 110, verse 4, Psalm 110 is the Messianic Psalm, prophecy concerning the Messiah, that He would come according to the order of Melchizedek. When we get to chapter 7, we'll study about Melchizedek. But in the book of Genesis, He was both king and priest of Salem. He was a Gentile, not a Jew. Jesus was Jewish. But his priesthood comes through the order of Melchizedek, not the Levitical Aaronic priesthood. Jesus Christ did not come to fulfill the priesthood of the Old Testament or the Jewish Judaistic system. He came through a completely different system. And by the time he says this, the Jewish mind is going, wait a minute. I knew about that prophecy, but it didn't make sense. That if he's coming as a high priest, according to Melchizedek, that's completely outside of Judaism. It has nothing to do with Judaism. Because the priest in the Judaistic system, they had to make sacrifices for themselves as well as the people, and they had to realize that I have to be gentle with the people because I am encircled with sins just like they are. That's why we in the ministry today have to be careful. Because when you pronounce judgment and you pronounce warning to other people, we also have to warn ourselves. We're all the same. We minister from the same level. We're sinful, fallen creatures. And we're only used by God. But we're still sinful. And that humbles us before the throne of God. So, the Aaronic priesthood had to be a human being. So Christ came, the Son came, and He took on human form. He suffered temptations like we do, in the human form, so that He could stand before the Father and He could represent us and intercede for us to the Father. So He encourages them. Grip the confession. hold to the confession that Jesus Christ is our high priest and He is our apostle. And He comes from a completely different religious, if you want to call it that, priestly system through the order of Melchizedek. Then he breaks off in verse 11. Verses 11 through 14 for today is a very important section. Some of us have already studied it in the Greek class just momentarily or for a few moments on Monday night a few weeks ago. This is very important. He says, now concerning Melchizedek, he says, we have a lot to say about Melchizedek. We want to teach you. And it's very difficult to interpret, to explain. And the reason why he is stopping, notice in verse 11, first of all, you have become dull of hearing. I asked you to either circle or make notation. Both in verse 11 and in verse 12, there's the word you have become either dull of hearing or you have become having a need of milk. This word, gegonen, is in the perfect tense, which means at one time they did not have a need for milk and they had a need for solid food. At one time they were not dull of hearing, but they have become dull of hearing. They have become having a need of milk and not solid food. They're not starting from the beginning. They had grown in the things of Christ and they left off from the study and the hearing of the Word. The Scripture in a few moments is going to tell us they are inexperienced with the Word of righteousness. Haven't experienced it. This is athletic terminology. We can all understand, we've at least tried once in our lifetime to exercise. We can all identify with that. You get on a schedule, you get in a routine. You might go out and start walking and then pretty soon you start running and you increase your laps every few days. You build yourself up to running a mile, running 2 miles. And you're doing this as a routine, as habit. And you get into that routine and you're starting to feel better and your muscles are getting into shape after being sore. You're starting to get into shape and then all of a sudden something happens in your life where you leave off from exercising. You become what we call out of shape, out of condition. And if you stopped exercising for about 6 months and came back to it again, would you be able to pick up where you left off? 2 miles, 3 miles, right off the bat. Yeah, where did I leave off 6 months ago? 3 miles? Let's go at it. Your muscles need to be put back into condition. The writer of Hebrews is presenting growth in Christ the same as physical conditioning. He is talking about exercising the human faculties of sensing and perception. That as you experience the Word of God, God's Spirit ministering through His Word, there is a process that is taking place where your senses are being exercised. Where we're becoming more in tune and more sensitive to the Spirit of God and what God's Word is saying. The more we hear the Word of God, the more we become in condition of hearing His Word. And we are able to understand His Word better. As we keep hearing and hearing and hearing and studying, it is putting us into a spiritual condition of being able to hear the Word. Now, if you're normal, even if you pick up the Word of God every day, you know that by the time you have spent your whole week working or being out in the world, by the time it comes to Sunday again, it's a little difficult to get back into the mind frame of concentrating on spiritual things and the Word of God. For some people, they have to come and sit through the first hour of study just to get the focus back. Say, the Word of God. Okay, well, we're so that by the time we get to the second hour, we can listen. It takes us that long as we stay away from the Word of God and as we stay away from the spiritual things of Christ, it takes that long to get our focus back because we're in a natural process of constantly developing our senses with the horizontal. We're sensitive to the horizontal and we become developed in that all week long. And if every once in a while we pick up God's Word, we're not going to feel like reading it because we're in a totally different condition. Our senses are totally sensitive to something different than the spiritual things of God. We have a need to pick up God's Word, not reading chapters or so many verses, but just spending time with the Lord in His Word and receiving from His Spirit, either listen to a tape or read over Scripture that we've already studied, allow God to minister those things to your heart, or read ahead, read the Scriptures for the next week, just read them over, allow God to minister to you. Whenever God's Word is given, to be there, because we're being exercised constantly. Our faculties are being exercised. This piece of Scripture teaches us that just as physical conditioning, we can get out of shape if we stop exercising. Spiritually, we can become out of tune with God. We can become out of tune with His Word and out of tune with His Spirit if we leave off from the Word of God. We can become dull of hearing. The word dull is also the word sluggish. Hard to get back to listening to things about God and things about the Word of God. Hard to comprehend. We got to get our focus back again. We're out of shape. We get out of tune. So the writer of Hebrews says, I really want to get into this ministering to you and explaining to you about the Melchizedek priesthood. Because Jesus Christ comes through Melchizedek, not through Levi and Aaron. Messiah came through the Jewish race, through the Davidic line and through Abraham, but He did not come through the Old Covenant. He came to fulfill it, but His priesthood was through Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a Gentile. So He says, I'd really like to get into this with you and explain it to you. I have a lot to say about it, and it's real hard to interpret, to explain to you. So now He's saying, I perceive that you have become, first thing, you have become dull of hearing. Notice in verse 12 the word gar. There's an explanation for each one of these gegonins. Have become. You have become dull of hearing. For while, notice the present participle, for while you are obligated on account of the time to be teachers, here's the main verb, you have need again for someone to teach you the ABCs of the beginning of the words of God. He says, because of the time, you should have matured in the things of the Lord to the point that you start teaching what you've learned. Because of the time, you should be grown and mature in the things of Christ. But you have left off from hearing. And you are indebted, you're obligated because of the time. You should be sharing these things with other people. You should be teaching. But He says, you have need again, palin. Notice the adverb. This goes along with the gegonins, is that this is their second time around, or third time around. They have to start all over again, not in their understanding, but in listening to the beginnings of the things of Christ, so that they can get back, get their perceptions exercised and conditioned, so that spiritually they can be sensitive to the Spirit of God and grow, go from milk and get into the meat. That is a pastor's prayer and dream and hope for all of the people that come in fellowship, Is it over a period of time they're going to be constantly maturing and growing and be able to handle the deep things, the things of the meat of the Word of God, and be able to understand the depths and the height and the width and the breadth of the things of Christ? Not just the surface things. Next week he's going to tell us, let's leave off from the ABCs and grow, if God permits. I'll share with you next week that spiritual growth is based on God's decision. It is not normal, natural process. God has to move a person on to maturity. If he does not think that we are ready to move on into the meat of the Word, he's going to keep us going around the mountain. He'll keep us at a place where we're constantly feeding on the milk of the Word. And even though that sustains us for a while, when you get out in life, you start experiencing the very serious issues of life. The older you get, the more serious the issues. But you only understand it from a milk standpoint. Just like a baby drinking milk can't handle the steak from Twin Oaks Restaurant. Can't handle that steak, but you need the steak for that energy and you need the steak for that strength. The milk by itself won't do after a while. And people find themselves wrestling with the issues, but God says His people perish for a lack of knowledge. God's people just don't understand. Satan has us confused and running in circles because we don't know what God's Word says. God would just make it plain to us. Give us understanding and a clear picture if we had the capacity and the maturity to understand what God's Word is saying. So the first thing he says in verse 11, you have become dull of hearing, which means at one time they were not dull of hearing. By now you should have been teaching. But instead you have need again for someone to teach you the basic elements, the ABCs of the beginning of the oracles of God. Right at the end of verse 12, and he says, and you have become, notice the literal translation, you have become having need. The present participle having depicts that they had arrived at a condition where they were constantly having a need of milk and not solid food. Spiritual growth is not a natural process like physical growth is. I can be a believer, a Christian, for 10, 20, 30, or even 40 years and really have the understanding of a 5-year-old. And I can grow in Christ for 10 or 20 or 30 years and things happen in my life where I leave off from pursuing and seeking the things of Christ. And after being in spiritual shape for 30 years, I can leave off from hearing the Word and fellowship, and I can become dull of hearing. I can lose my conditioning. I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose my conditioning. I can lose my sensitivity to perceive the things of God. He says, and you have become, this is the second thing, having a need of milk and not solid food. Verse 13, here's the second gar. We had an explanation for the first one. Now we have an explanation for the second one. You have become having need of milk and not solid food. For, the reason why, everyone who is partaking of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness. Now, it's interesting, the word translated experience is also the word for trial. The Greek word basically means to experience things. It's translated a trial because it has a negative connotation to it. This word is also translated in a good way in the New Testament, but it's not translated trial. It's translated experience. And so a trial is an experience. Nothing negative about it at all. A trial is there for me to experience Christ, experience trusting Him, experience Him sustaining me, experience Him leading me and guiding me as I experience surrendering myself to Him in every experience. That's what a trial is. So the next time somebody calls you up and says, oh, I'm really going through a trial. Oh, you mean an experience. Opportunity to experience Christ. That's what you mean. But of course, we wallow around for a while. We try to find answers in the flesh and we feel sorry for ourselves and we wonder, why is God doing this to me? Maybe to get our attention? Maybe to have fellowship with us? Maybe to change us and transform us? Maybe to experience Him? Maybe to get ready for eternity? Gee, never thought of that. Yeah. We have all of our... We're so in tune with the life around us, we don't know why God just doesn't let things happen our way. Why can't I win the lottery? I'll share it with you. Well, you know. Why can't God let me have my way and do what I want to do? It's not what we're here for. We're here to experience Christ and surrender to Him and learn how to follow His lead and the lead of His Spirit. And that takes spiritual conditioning. It takes being sensitive to His Spirit and His Word. Listening to the voice of God, that still small voice, as we seek Him. Everyone, verse 13, who's partaking of milk is without experience with the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Unlike human growth, I would not be considered to be an infant. I have lived enough years to be considered an adult. But spiritually, that doesn't hold true. I can follow the Lord and learn of Him and grow for 30 or 40 or 50 years and then leave off from fellowship and leave off from making the Word of God my top priority. And I can lapse back. I can become dull of hearing. I can become having a need of milk and not solid food. I can go backwards. I can know the Lord for 40 years and be an infant spiritually because I haven't submitted to or taken serious or even understood the growth process. I thought it was just natural, you know. I received Christ, I'm going to heaven, I just go to church whenever I can. That's all we can do, right? See, that's the religious approach. The spiritual approach is that, and I trust, that when we're gathered together in the name of Christ, that His Spirit is ministering through His Word to give us understanding, give us depth, to change us and to transform us. That's permanent. But we need to continue to grow, continue to seek Him, not leave off. It says in verse 14, but solid food has the characteristic for those who are mature. That is, he goes on to explain who the mature ones are in Christ. The ones having, notice the word having. The ones having, on the basis of a habit in their life, having their senses exercised. Interesting, that's where we get our word gymnasium from. Gymnazo. It's a perfect tense verb. Those people that have been in a conditioning program of having their senses exercised, and that's the habit of their life. To discern, to distinguish between what's right and wrong. What does God want me to do and what does He not want me to do? I can't know unless my senses, my human faculties have been exercised by God's Spirit with the Word to be able to perceive and to sense Him and to know what His Word says. And I go through a natural decline in my growth process every day just by carrying out my natural activities. You can go to the store. and your human senses and faculties are now back into the horizontal human frame around you, by the time you get home, be totally insensitive to spiritual things, because that's just our natural process. But that's how much we need to be in God's Word. You have to arrive at a place where you understand what's being taught here. You understand what Christian growth is all about and how it works. And you have to come to a point where you realize, I don't want to lose that touch. I don't want to lose that sensitivity. I don't want to lose that perception of Christ being with me all day long. I want to be able to hear that still small voice. I want to be able to handle the meat of the Word of God. I want to know every word and every verse in God's Word. Because God's Spirit is going to take that and He's going to change me and transform me, and I'm going to take it with me throughout eternity. That's what I want. But I also realize that maybe 30 minutes from now, after I eat lunch, I won't feel like it. Because I've already gotten in tune with food. Food, relax, take it easy. Sunday afternoon, And I realize that I can lose that sensitivity. It's not something that I have to work at. It's something that I have to realize. It's something that I have to know. And realize what the writer of Hebrews is going to tell us next week. Is that we should move on, get past the milk. And we will do that if God permits. See, it's not a natural process. You can't just say, well, I've been a Christian for 10 years, and you'd be 10 years old in your understanding of the things of Christ. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. I can remember 6 months after I had received Christ over in Puerto Rico. 6 months after I received Christ, a person who had been a Christian for 20 years came up and asked me if I would start a Bible study. I said, you got to be kidding. I just found out that there's an Old and a New Testament. You know, I never knew that before. You've been a Christian for 20 years and you want me to start a Bible study. He says, yes, but for 20 years. He says, I don't understand a thing about the Bible. 20 years. He said, I go to church, and I had my beliefs, and had my convictions. But after 20 years, he realizes his need to get into the Word. He understands now that it's not a religious activity, that there's a spiritual activity going on by God's Spirit through His Word to our hearts. I have to know when I straying away. I have to know when I need to be into His Word. And just in the natural process of life, Satan will reach out through the natural processes of life and take our attention. And as we're working all day long, we become so sensitive and so keen and so sharp in the very things that we're spending all those hours doing. And then we try to get back to spiritual things and it's like, oh, what happened? We're being conditioned. We can't help it. It's just a normal, natural way. But then we have to realize, just as you would go out, I trust that you would do this, if you go out and get dirty, that you're going to take a shower. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. You have a realization, I got dirty, I got to take a shower. I got to get clean. There has to be a spiritual awareness and sensitivity that I've been out in the world all day long. And my senses, my human faculties have been conditioned for the horizontal. I need to get in the Word. Not to try to work my way back into spiritual condition, but just open up the Word of God and just start reading. Let God's Spirit minister to me. And if you find yourself opening up God's Word, saying, okay, I got to do this because I got to stay spiritually sharp. And as you're reading, you're thinking of something else. And you go, this doesn't work. I read two lines and I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow. Because the human effort doesn't work. When we open up God's Word and literally seek the Lord and look for Him to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, allow God's Spirit to take His Word and cleanse us, because we've gotten dirty all day long. Jesus told the disciples, "You are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." That's how we're cleansed. That's why we spend so much time in the Word of God when we fellowship together. It's difficult for the flesh to sit and listen. But God's Spirit is ministering His Word to your spirit and to your mind. And the more you come in here, the more you become conditioned. Because it's through God's Spirit, through the Word. It's not through singing. It's not through praying. It's not even through getting together for fellowship. It's by being in God's Word. That's His chosen way. So the writer of Hebrews is again ministering, saying, you know, I'd really like to get into an explanation and get into the meat of who Melchizedek is and all about him, but you have become dull of hearing. You have become need of milk and not solid food. Somebody has to take you again and start all over again and start with the ABCs and build your conditioning back up again. You might know what it is. You might know it with your mind about the ABCs of Christ, but the actual spiritual function with it in the Word, you got to start over. You've got to build up your faculties and build up your senses. There's actually a spiritual exercise that is taking place. The flesh doesn't like it. But our spirit hungers for it. We hunger for God's Word. Our spirit was made for God's Spirit, to have communion with Him and fellowship with Him. And we have this tug of war that's going on. We've got the desires of the flesh pulling us one way. And we've got in our minds what we know what we should do, but we just don't feel like doing it, so we don't do it. Because we don't feel like it. I'll tell you what. Go out and get dirty this week. Don't shower all week long. Just because you don't feel like it. And then show up next Sunday morning. We don't have room to hide here. Someone will notice. And just as we would not consider that to be a right thing to do, or none of us would do, spiritually I can sense when I'm in my senses and in my perceptions separated from the Lord. He's still there. To know that He's still there and I don't know it, that tells me something. I want to get back with Him. I want to perceive Him and sense Him and know Him. I want to receive from Him and just get my focus just between me and Christ and His Word, so that He can cleanse me, wash me, and cause me to grow in Christ, to know Him, to walk with Him. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your inspired Word. How thankful we are that You've chosen something with ink and paper to take that as a tool and by Your Spirit touch our hearts and make us aware and give us understanding about the truths and the spiritual truths of life. We pray that as we leave this place, Your Spirit would continue to minister these things to our hearts. That we would not be forgetful hearers. That we would understand Your message by Your Spirit through Your Word to our hearts today. That You've given us a direction, You've given us an awareness, You've given us an understanding about what life and walking with Christ is all about. Help us in our decision-making process to make those right decisions, to develop our senses to perceive You and to know You and to understand You. Again, we thank You for Your Word and the few times that we have together. You're so faithful to unfold your word to us, to give us understanding. Now it is up to us to respond, not out of human effort, but in seeking you, and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Continue to minister these things to us, we pray, and give us more understanding and guidance, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.